sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Hello and welcome to Messages on Demand. I'm Kenneth Unger and here today to minister God's Word to you. There's a story that's told, and I've heard it a number of times over the years. Sometimes it varies a little bit, but I found it posted on the internet the other day, and it goes something like this. God was once approached by a scientist who said, "Listen, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. These days we can clone people, transplant organs, and do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous." God replied, "Don't need me, huh? How about we put your theory to the test? Why don't we have a competition to see who can make a human being, say a male human being?" The scientist agrees. So God declares that they should do it like He did in the good old days when He created Adam. "Fine," the scientist says, as he bends down to scoop up a handful of dirt. "Whoa," says God, shaking his head in disapproval. "Not so fast. Get your own dirt." And I'm reminded today of how the world is turning its back on God. I'm sure most folks today have heard of something that went around a few years back, still kind of goes around some today, stating that God is dead. And as I begin to look up the date when this started, I was really surprised to find out that the belief that God is dead, and here's how it went, God is dead. God remains dead, and we have killed Him. It's a quoted statement, was widely quoted by German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. It first appears in his 1882. Remember, 1882, roughly a little over 130 years ago, collection, The Gay Science, which can also be translated as The Science of Joy. So from 1882, this was around. Then it gained some new life in the 1960s, when of all things, a number of Protestant, listen to this, Protestant theologians announced the death of God. We don't need God anymore, is basically what they were saying. And all we have to do is look back a few years to really find out where all of this has gotten us. In 1963, the Supreme Court of the United States effectively took prayer out of schools. I know I see some little things pop up in social media once in a while saying you can never take prayer out of schools as long as there are tests and examinations. Some kids always going to be praying, and that's probably true. But as far as having official prayer in school, 1963 in the United States of America, a nation that was founded with a belief in God, founded by people who came here to seek a new life and freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. And now, several men sitting around a desk in Washington, D.C., stated, "You can no longer have prayer in schools." As I looked up information on this, I found that in the years that were following, several other countries that had allowed prayer in schools were starting to ban it. And so it has gone on, prayer being removed from schools. You know, I know that here in the United States, we talk about Madeleine Murray O'Hara, who filed a lawsuit involving this, but she was not the first. And we blame her in many ways, and I know I have in the past, for being the one that got this started. She's just the one, I guess, that her name sticks out. But it was more than just her. It was a lot of other people. It went along with the attitude, we don't need God. When I was a youngster and first started school, I know they had prayer in schools. We had prayer, we had Bible reading, we had those things. And we didn't have the problem in schools back then that we have today. But now we've taken the attitude, we don't need God. Even some of the churches, remember the 1960s, celebrated Protestant theologians announced the death of God. We have all but eliminated God from some churches. Some churches have become nothing more than a social platform. And I want to state here, there's nothing wrong, because I believe the Word of God commands us to do so, taking care of the needy and helping those that are in need. And we do have a duty toward our fellow man. But that is not our only goal. That is not our primary goal. Our primary goal is leading men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ and letting them know that He loves them, that He cares about them, and that He wants to meet the need in their life. Well, we don't need God, some have said. Remember the story I read you just a few moments ago, where at the last part, God says to the scientist, get your own dirt. So what is dirt? Well, I like to look things up in the dictionary and get the dictionary's definition of a word. Because, you know, sometimes words, especially I've noticed in the English language, words can change in meaning over the years. I remember there was a time when the word gay meant you were living a happy life. Just as I talked about the science of joy in 1882, now it means something totally different. And for a while, I haven't heard it so much recently, but for a while, if somebody said something was bad, they meant it was good. So a lot of times it's really good to look things up in the dictionary, especially if you're speaking English, and find out exactly what that definition is. So I looked up dirt in the dictionary. And I found in dictionary.com that there were seven definitions of the word dirt. Think about it. Seven definitions. And the first one is not what you are probably thinking it is. The first one is any foul or filthy substance, such as mud, grime, dust, or excrement. That's the number one definition of the word dirt. The second one is the word that most people, or the definition that most people would think about, and that is earth or soil, especially when loose. Like we talk about going out, kids going out and playing in the dirt and getting all dirty. And it's followed by these other definitions, and I want to share these with you because it's important. Number three, something or someone vile, mean, or worthless. Example, after that last outburst of hers, I thought she was dirt. Number four, moral filth, vileness, corruption. Number five, obscene or lewd language, to talk dirt. Number 6. Informal gossip, especially of a malicious, lurid, or scandalous nature. Example, tell me all the latest dirt. Oh, I don't want to gossip, but have you heard? And so many times, even as Christians, we get tempted and drawn in or sucked in to talking dirt about other folks. Number 7. Private or personal information which if made public would create a scandal or ruin the reputation of a person, a company, etc. And I'm sad to say that number 7 right now really should be at the top of the list, at least in the United States of America. Because we see it every day, false information, false news that's put out, that's strictly put out to try to ruin the reputation of an individual, or of a company, or of a group of people. Information that's even put out today to try to ruin the reputation of those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading an article, just a little bit of it, just before we begin to tape this broadcast, about how one of the popular television shows is going to have a storyline that will link Christians with a group similar to ISIS. How horrible that is. Man has gotten his own dirt, and he's run with it. Remember back to my story. God told the scientist, get your own dirt. Man's got his dirt. He's got one of those 6 definitions of dirt, and he's running with it. God's dirt that he was referring to back in that story is physical. It's the earth or the soil that he used when he created Adam, the first man. Genesis 2:7, and reading today from the Complete Jewish Bible. Then Adonai, God, formed a person, Hebrew, Adam, from the dust of the ground, Hebrew, Adama, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. God took that dirt that's on the ground out there, that dust, shaped and formed Adam. And then it says, he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of that dirt man, and he became a living being. This being the same dust of the ground created by God, which you can read about in Genesis chapter 1, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created all these things. As I said, in dictionary.com, we had 7 definitions. One, which we just talked about, had to do with what God created, the dust of the ground, followed by 6 definitions of the dirt man created. God's dirt creates, man's dirt destroys. Man's dirt is full of vileness, obscenity, filth, immorality, and ruin. If you've got man's dirt and you're playing and you're molding man's dirt, these are the products that it creates. And we see all of this of man's creation in the world today. All we have to do is turn on some form of communication, whether it be radio, television, the internet, printed media, even sometimes in the church. I remember back, and I've probably mentioned this at some time in the past, my mom loved to watch the soap operas. And they're not, if to my knowledge, I'm not even sure if there are any on today. But back in those days, they were on the radio, they were on television. And obscenity, four-letter words, were not something that was used. And I remember in one episode, I didn't hear it myself, but it was made the news. One of the characters uttered a four-letter word commonly used by people today, even people in the church. And there was an outrage because of that. But today, it's mild what was spoken then as to what is spoken today. You can't hardly watch anything without some form of foul or filthy language being used. The first definition was any foul or filthy substance. Man has taken foul and filthy substance and he has run with it. He has taken it to the extreme. He has said, "This is my creation, and I'm running with it. I'm going to spread it around." And today, as I mentioned, even within the church, we see some of this. We see Christians who sat in the pew on Sunday morning and sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow," or some other hymn or chorus that may be sang in the church service. And then they walk out the front door of the church, and you would think totally different of them as you hear the words that sometimes come out of their mouth. It's sad to say that even the church has been caught up in this vileness, this creation of man's dirt. What the world needs, especially now, is a return to God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, reading from the King James Version, says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances." Boy, isn't that speaking to us today. "And have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return?" I'm here to tell you today, folks, we need to return to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of the Bible. That's who we need to return to. We need to get back into God's Word and read what God has to say. And we need to follow His Word. We need to follow His instructions. Put down man's dirt and take up the blessings and the life that God has given us. The question is, will we do it? God has given us opportunity after opportunity will we do it? In last week's broadcast, we talked about you have been warned about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know when it's going to be. It could be later today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. It could be further out than that. I don't know. No man knows. The Bible plainly tells us that. But for some who are possibly even listening to me right now, for some, he's coming for you. Possibly within a few days. I want you to listen to me. There are some he may be coming for within a few days. And what do I mean by that? This breath that we breathe can be taken from us. The Bible tells us life is but a vapor. Our life could be taken from us. This physical body can die. And that can happen at any time. It can be any day. It can be any moment. And I've noticed, especially in just these few short days we've had of the year 2017, how many people I've heard of that their life came to an end. Some, it was expected. Some were aged, and they had lived much longer than many people had even thought they would. But others were young, some in their teens, some even younger than that. It happened then, and after that, no second chance. As I've said before, and I say again, the question is, will you be ready when that time comes? Will you be ready when that time comes? God created man from the dust of the earth. He breathed the breath of life into that first man. That man became a living being. And throughout the centuries, we have had that breath of life breathed into us. But the moment that breath of life is taken from us, this physical body will cease to exist. I know from personal experience what it's like to feel like you can't breathe. And there may be some listening to me today that you have had that experience as well. I know what it's like to try to lay down in bed and you cannot because you can't breathe. It's a terrible feeling. And even if you're a Christian and you're ready to meet the Lord, when you can't get your breath, there's just something grabs hold of you. And your body fights to get that breath. You don't just give up. Your body fights to get that breath. But when it's gone, it's no second chance. So if you're not ready, the time to get ready is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's not 6 weeks from now or a year from now. It's now. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me read that again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, call upon Him today. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. And He'll do it. But if you believe God is dead, I'm here to tell you, you're believing a lie. And this is what God's Word says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The devil wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to believe there is no God. And I'm speaking right now to anyone listening who maybe got this broadcast by chance. At least you thought it was chance. And you believe God is dead. You believe there is no God. It's the same as believing He's dead. God has sent a strong delusion. The enemy of your soul has sent a strong delusion that you should believe a lie. And God is saying here, and let's start again with verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to know today, folks, the choice is yours. Somebody, especially the enemy of your soul, might tell you, in some way, shape, or form, you can't be saved. God doesn't love you. I want you to know today, God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary as the sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. And all you have to do is call upon His name. He will hear. He will answer. He will save you from your sin. And Father, today I pray that if there's anyone that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Help them to understand and to realize they need Jesus. Help Christians who are being deceived to wake up and realize the devil's dirt is out there. And sometimes even we play with it. Help them to wake up and come alive once again. And remember, the choice is yours.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.